Hello, this is Daryl War, and this is the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows podcast, in which there is a lot more of me blotty-blying and talking and fireside chat, or maybe if it's summertime, oceanside chat. So I wanted to just let a lot of pen pals know thank you so much, and also for the pen pals who got a little nervous, because I understand it's scary sometimes, or a little mystifying to hear somebody do what I'm doing and realize that all the alienation and everything happening and that it all kind of blends together to what you might be experiencing with new technology and people getting wonky and messed up and manipulated and that kind of thing. So yeah, when you signed up for a pen pal, you probably didn't expect to get somebody like me. And at the same time, I didn't expect to get such an alienating audience myself. So I more apologize for the factors that have brought the human race to this level. But, you know, don't be worried if you're listening and you're casually listening. I have a few pen pals who do kind of mention, yeah, I tuned in to this, that, or the other thing. Go ahead. If you're not really invested in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, but you're curious, no problem to just say, I listen to X, Y, and Z. It helps. It really helps. Just a little casual chat of, I tuned in the other day, and blah, 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 and our personal stuff, and then we talk about gardening and all that, or crafting and that kind of thing. But at the same time, there are plenty of pen pals that are appreciative and helpful and let me know how they're doing, and I let them know how I'm doing, and definitely two in particular who have told me, for myself and also for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, thank you for finding me. Thank you for finding me and sharing this work. I would not have wanted to miss out. This has been wonderful. And I'm totally fine with helping you to keep making it wonderful just by being a good audience member. So, it really is so wonderful to get at least two people like that. And then hopefully more in the future. Because there are people who are online listeners and they're kind of closet listeners or avoid the topic listeners. Got pretty taken advantage of the new technology that is very manipulative and addictive. And with me, they painted themselves into these corners and sort of did a double bind on themselves. And the way that they had this aversion of guilt was to not lie, which means they avoid the topic with me, still wanting to talk to me, but just saying anything that is outside of the realm, even if I'm talking about it. I'm talking about I'm doing this show or I'm doing that show or I need help with this, and they just kind of avoid the whole thing and talk about all this other trivial stuff and thereby sounding even creepier. So that's how a lot of listeners painted themselves into corners and created the alienation and became closet fans, which is fascinating because I remember the previous decade in which everybody was coming out of their closets and this is my guilty pleasure and blah, 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 and being open about. And so I guess I created something that is a dirty secret. Yet again, that is quite an innocent thing, you know, release series for a 50-year-old soap opera that includes a lot of other very family-oriented shows. Okay. Fascinating. But yeah, that is the awkwardness, that is the alienation, and hopefully we can make it better with nonprofit organizations like Humane Tech. And there are other ones, actually, that picked up on the problems. Now, I'm not sure if they're all nonprofit. It seemed like they'd have to be. But there is Dot Everyone, which is from the UK. Just making sure that, yeah, if we're going to have this, we better make sure that it's good for people. And the Digital Wellness Collective, a curated network of digital wellness experts and organizations enhancing human relationships through the intentional use and development of technology. So, there's quite a few people very interested in, yeah, let's not go down the shitter, please. So, I'm happy, and all my whistleblowing was not for naught. Yes, I'm saying there's something wrong. Other people are trying to agree with me before getting pulled back into the swirling eddies of hell. And kind of just falling into the loops over and over and over again. And I did too, but I was pushing back as hard as I could. And there is more than Humane Tech out there. There's a lot of other organizations wanting to help everyone out. So, in a situation like today's situation, August 2019... I would definitely get treated this way, and also because of what I call the fandom politics, which is a lot of groups who somehow morphed into these weird ideas that got more and more popular and more prevalent, and then with the new technology, more and more serious and more religious and more angry, and I'm like, because in 2014, there's a lot of people that I was talking to online, they were completely different people than how they are today. And that's really scary to watch. I mean, it wasn't just people I'd known for decades. It was like people that through 2014 seemed very reasonable, and then you just watched them degrade more and more and more and more. And I was, you know, telling my auntie on the phone the other night, this is what I saw. And she's like, well, that's why we need to keep in touch. And thank you so much for not getting pulled into the nightmare and being on the other side of it now so I can talk to you and you can keep me sane too. Anyway, I wanted to try and go through a few of the things that I didn't in the May spoiler cast for episode 21, just getting close to being edited and spliced together and all those things that so many folks thought was easy as pie and totally wasn't. So, yeah, there was the stuff with Maggie investigating the blue whale, and it's interesting because this scene came out considering the barmaid with no name who gets killed by the werewolf is more or less what I consider a red shirt, and I've made some people chuckle when I say that because they know immediately what it means. It's sort of like we've gone off into an area of Dark Shadows that might have happened were these circumstances in place. So rather than just gloss over things and be like, oh dear, the barmaid, oh, you know, and then nobody's really addressing the aftermath of the situation. They're just all talking about, oh dear. Maggie goes to investigate at the Blue Whale and talks to Bob the bartender, which I do realize I was getting his name wrong in the intro to episode 7. So maybe he'll have four names instead of three. Because, yeah, I think like Rooney was in there or something. So it's like, well, I'll have to add even more, which there are some people out there with two middle names, maybe even three. But Bob owns the Blue Whale and he's hired this barmaid and this barmaid is dead. And how does he feel? And yeah, he's going to just let it out because I've let Bob talk more than he might have done on the show. I used to get to Oisin and just say, what did you think? What did you think? She was like, yeah, it's neat to have this kind of peripheral because she's into all those details. Because he says a little bit here and there, but most of the time he kind of hems and haws and nods and chomps his cigar. And I didn't really go for, I didn't have the box set yet, so when I was getting this radio drama started, I just sort of shot for a 50s, 60s radio drama voice, some kind of kickback voice that you might have heard in one of the lighter episodes of X-1, and that's the voice that I gave Bob the bartender. And I'm pretty darn fond of it. Don't really want to change it too much. So, yeah, he has a lot to get off of his chest about just feeling bad that this poor girl's gone. But then it's also good because not only with the first scene in episode 21, or at least one of the first scenes, because now I label Milligan and Hecubus as the first scene, even though it was the intro. It just made more sense to number it as this is the first scene, even though we're not getting any DS characters. So, with Elizabeth and Bill, and Oisin gave me a ton to say. If you've read Stand Fast and Damn the Devil, you know how much she's, or any of her work, you know how she goes, as she gets into all the details and everything. So she knew all the stuff with Bill Malloy's death, and I was like, I just need some help here and some help there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to be Frank Schoenfield for like days and weeks. But I've done most of it. Hopefully it's going to be fine. I'm not going to worry too much. People are going to listen to it once and throw it away. But yeah, it got everything in there. I had Helena listen to the demo and just, yeah, I said, she gave Bill a lot to say. And some of it, that's where you understand, wow, yeah, this is definitely soap opera, because when you go one day at a time, not a whole lot's going on, but when you clump everything together from like weeks to months of time, it's like all of these random extreme things. How could it happen in one town? This is just beyond making sense. And yeah, and that is the nature of the soap opera, so Bill has to explain all of this stuff, and it's not a huge monologue, but it's big enough. I try to figure out how Elizabeth responds and all that. But my point, after going on and on, is that, yeah, going through the first year, I can now incorporate all these things with the characters that are first year. And with Bob and Maggie, there is that too, where at some point he tells Maggie, that he is going to try and get the blue whale up and running soon, and hopefully Pop's not missing it, and, like, her Pop. And then she says yes and no that he's missing it. We've got plenty of drinks stashed at home. And Bob says, just as well for him to stay there, it's safer. And Maggie is a reference from First Year Dark Shadows. It is if no newspapers catch fire. And Bob says, oh yeah, back when Laura Collins was in town, I remember hearing about that. So yeah, he kind of just lets himself go with her in episode 21. And I have a title for this thing. Oh, okay. Yeah, title's sort of in flux right now. I was calling it Up the Down Staircase. But Helena had suggested, because she wasn't sure what she was listening to, that maybe it was Up the Damned Staircase. And I thought, you know, that might be a better title for episode 21. And then there is Amy and David in the next scene. I can't remember what number it is. I want to say 4, the fourth scene for episode 21. And we're merging things because, like I said, I hadn't got everything in sync with Turn of the Screw and the werewolf stuff as it originally was, so I figured out how to cut some corners. Because if you remember in Dark Shadows, Amy gets upset. Victoria, in the original, is the one who comes and comforts her. She's having a dream about Chris. But, okay, so with the pit, you have to slice off. All right, Victoria's not there because she's at the Addams Family house. She's not the governess. Maggie's the governess, but Maggie's kind of busy. And there's also this West Wing stuff to investigate, so have David show up. There is that, and also just trying to rely on having been a kid, understanding what kids would say, how they would operate certain understandings of, well, what good is it going to do to tell grown-ups? You know, they don't believe anything we say, do they? Let's just say you can't bet on it. And to distract her, so it's like 639, 641, somewhere in there, just sort of mixing it up and trying to make it work. And those are the DS episode numbers. And then, so Milligan and Hecubus sort of transfer us over. And this is another thing that Maggie's busy with. That's why she can't go and comfort Amy. And David's just as well, you know, might as well. So there is the meeting at the old house. It's going to be, again, 6 people. Maggie and Barnabas have their scene, and hopefully I've done a good enough job with the performances. We shall see. Some of these I did 2 takes for, which was probably very unnecessary, but I just felt the need. And it's going to make it harder to edit. And, like I said in the May spoiler cast, Barnabas is just, he's so high on having his Josette back and getting to know her new persona. And I think he even, I think it's in 20 he makes a joke about it. But he's getting used to that. And she is having the best time teasing him about it. And it's fascinating, too, because in most cases, Barnabas likes to have control of himself, his character. He doesn't like to be messed with. But when it comes to Josette and or a reincarnation of Josette, it's fascinating. He kind of, that's different. This is, I'm your humble servant. And, she just enjoys all this fun to just tweak with him a little bit here and there. But, you know, still very loving in a lot of ways. Just, it's a very interesting relationship. And it has to be when you're dealing with reincarnation of the previous lost love with a modern sense of humor. It's just fascinating. And that helps, too. Let's see. So we're at the old house and kind of looking in on Willie and Wadsworth. And I've talked about that chat for a few podcasts, and I think everything's gonna fit in there. Just, what did my auntie say? What a charming upstairs-downstairs pair. And, yeah, he wanting to try and recompense Willie for, in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, having worked at Hill House in Clue the movie and that kind of stuff, and we knew each other before, and you were a very young man, but just, like, where do you keep your cash? Like, if I give you what I owed you with potentially compound interest too, is it going to be safe? You know, are you going to keep it somewhere? And then, oh, and yeah, this is where something comes in where Wadsworth suggests old friend will do in referring to me. If Willy wants to call him old friend, do so. And that kind of harks back over to Margaret Josette Dupre, because there is an instance where Willy nods at him before he's going out to do something semi-dangerous and says, old friend, says old friend. And, you know, of course, that always made me wonder what the readers were thinking, because I think that chapter came out before a lot of this other stuff for the pit in the podcast version. It was already there for my demos and stuff, but not necessarily what was released. But also, Dr. Hoffman and her admirer, Professor Stokes, are going to show up, and Willie's saying, as a couple, they should have arrived a long time ago. Miss making a joke about that, and then getting into it with the glass pen. Stokes gifted Willie with the glass pen, so the banter about that. And Willie and Professor Stokes having a conversation. I was really, it's stranger than Willie and Wadsworth. But it works out, you know, and Hoffman is just sort of saying, this is what he means. You know, well, I know. And it's good to work with Professor Stokes in certain regards that you are not quite sure how he's going to respond to more modern banter, because he's more of a classical gentleman, school teacher and all that, college professor. Maggie also in this scene, when she's, you know, trying to welcome everybody in, there is a reference to, it's like you're already living here. Well, someday I'm hoping to, you know, what's going on is okay. If spirit's willing, and somebody points out that maybe you're one of the said spirits. Yeah, I know. But because she has those qualities, because Maggie has those qualities in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, there are times where she sort of falls back and forth into various memories. The Josette Dupre memories, the Kitty Soames memories, her own memories, all that stuff. She'll go back and forth because it kind of, you know, certain associations come and go. But what they're trying to focus on now is, I think there's something going on with Chris that is supernatural. It's likely this. We are not sure yet. We do not have any proof, but we all need to be on the same page about what's going on. And then there's also a little joke from the first coffee shop scene, because Maggie had said that Collinsport is a town that rolls up its sidewalks when the sun goes down. And we all know, watching the show for years, that ain't true. Maybe the first year a little bit, but no. Everybody's up at all hours of the day and night. But, yeah, there's a little joke about that. So, yeah, I think I got through just about everything for here. I don't want to give too much of it away. And then the Samantha and Darren scene, really worked on that, took Jonah's advice, changed some lines around, and also some geographic locations, because my husband said, yeah, I don't think that would be applicable in 1968. And I said, okay. And he didn't check online. He did not check the internet. He checked the almanac for that. It was a book that was printed on paper. So, yeah, there is stuff where Darren is interested, and I can't imagine that some of you who've been quote-unquote following me for years, you know, if you've really geeked it up, at least in your head, you would understand why Darren would be interested in Collinsport, and why maybe his bosses would be interested. And again, if you were, you know, kind of following me around, you know, I was really interested, what would it be like with Darren and Roger? They're both kind of these, for want of a better word, muggle, but they still have to deal with, we're living in supernatural families now. How do we cope? How do we cope? How do we cope? Well, we're going to share a drink together first, and then we'll talk about it. But that's not nowhere near episode 21. The Darren and Roger stuff, Lord willing and the Crick Don't Rise, is going to come many episodes in the future. And then we get to Amy and David and stuff that me and my husband were watching where I'm like, oh my gosh, and heckling certain things. And I'm all, yeah, let's put that in there. Let's have Amy mention that, because I don't even know. But more or less just kind of gravitating to what was on the original show with a few little changes and trying to just cut some corners to condense it. And then, yeah. And, oh, yeah, okay, so the wrap-up here for this spoiler cast section of this podcast for episode 21, I realized, yeah, with Amy and David coming back, who comes in? Who wonders why they're not in bed yet, or at least Amy, what's going on? It's Elizabeth. Well, in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, she ain't anywhere near Collinsport or the house. She's on the boat with Lily Munster. So, what am I going to do? Maggie's busy, and everybody else is busy. Well, is it going to be Carolyn? No, I don't think Carolyn coming in would be. What if Roger came in and sort of did his Roger version of tucking Amy in or getting David to shoo, like, why aren't you in bed? Yeah, and then I came out. And yeah, just asking, well, what would Roger do? And oh, it was great. It is great, and hopefully it will be great. I'm a little worried that my Roger voice is going downhill, but I'm going to work more on that. He's just, oh, Roger Collins. First year, like O'Sheen says, David and Roger are the villains. They really are. But later on, it very kicked back, and just the such a perfect fifth wheel. He's, you know, for a soap opera, he's the comic relief in a lot of ways. I mean, Louis Edmonds could get very concerned and studious and serious and in his roles, but for the most part, that man had a gift for funny and a gift for sarcasm and a gift for snarky that you just love him that much more. And I think that's the thing, is that when I've gone, you know, a lot of people say the Roger is spot on. I think that I could do a bit of a better job. Just there's certain breathy qualities that Louis Edmonds has. But that's the thing that seemed to just wipe people out. With any other fan work, a lot of the time, you're either not getting Roger at all, or you're getting sort of this peripheral version of Roger. But when that first episode of The Pit came out, and people hear that, they go, oh my gosh, Roger. That is the real thing. And that was the one element of the 2012 film that I had a problem with. Everything else I hugged to my heart. I was bummed out by Roger. That was it. What did I say? I think I said to Doshin, like, well, you know, the film version of Roger, you know, was disappointing, but I can, myself, can do a much better version than that other guy, so who cares? And that's fine. So, yeah, and then what's nice, too, is that, so I've just kind of taken Liz's lines and fitted them to how Roger might express himself in the same situation. So he's going to know about Quentin, and he's going to say even funnier things about Quentin, and he's going to suggest things that, well, maybe we can talk about it at breakfast, and yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to what on earth is going to happen in 22 now. And that's another reason that I make these, so that I can listen to them and go, oh gosh, what's next, what's next? Which is very nice. And, Or Walton's references and jokes that are very heavily voted from Friends. Now, I wanted to let you know about something where I talked about a friend coming back from, not the grave, but, you know, back into our life. We saw him a lot at the market, and it seemed, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, everybody's still friends, and everybody's still talking to each other, and then after a while, we're like, are you okay? Seamus was the one who, when I would talk to him on the phone over the years, off and on, he was the one who was saying, yeah, you know, these people we've known for years, you see them on social media, they never get that crazy. Not even at the bar. Meaning, you know, partying or drinking or whatever. Yeah, these people are crazier on social media than they were at a party. And we went to some pretty crazy parties. People were doing all manner of stuff. And I had met Seamus at a New Year's party, where I'd also met Jonah and Tito, etc. It was a New Year's party, so you got 2 years there. So, end of 97, 1997, beginning of 1998. So, that's how long I've known some of these people. That's one of the things, you know, Seamus was always like, oh yeah, Golden Girls. And there were other people saying, hey, did, you know, you could add the Golden Girls. I was like, I did. And another friend would say, she did. And they're like, oh, you know, it's so funny because so many people get into the idea of the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow and say, hey, add this, add that. And then it's like, I did. I don't mean to disappoint you. I hope you're excited. You're like, oh, and then you never hear from him again. But Seamus, we did. Yeah, he was the one. Yeah, Golden Girls, great. Now, a number of weeks ago, we kind of hang out and he's all, yeah, I'm going to listen to these episodes. And then he showed up on a weekend. And I said, so did you listen or re-listen to, you know, what I put together? He said, oh my gosh, you say the funniest. And he started laughing and then he sort of blinked. And he's like, oh my gosh. And he felt so embarrassed. He said, I had these itemized lists in my head of all the things I wanted to tell you. Just from like the first three episodes, maybe just the first two. He's like, but, and he was so embarrassed. I said, they're gone. You're drawing a blank. And he's like, yes, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's important that you told me that because I have had a theory, a hypothesis for years that might be one of the reasons that so many people are tongue-tied and they can't tell me anything. And you're here face-to-face proving to me that I was very likely correct. And he still felt so bad. And I was like, no, 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 no. This is incredibly important. I've been going through years of hellacious nonsense, and you are giving me one of the answers that I suspected existed, but these people could not tell me. You know, they could not. That is so much stuff. I mean, that's why I've talked about before. Fans of Clue the movie, a lot of times, they don't say what they like. They just start repeating lines. And, you know, one person repeats a line, somebody else repeats the next line. It's just that fun. And that's all you can do. Just repeat these lines. And I got another pen pal who she's repeating lines and every once in a while adding her own personal thoughts. Because it's just so chunky. And yeah, would have been nice if it was less chunky and I could have got more talk. But hey, why ruin something that is that fun? Why ruin it? Just make it that re-listenable. Especially in an era where everybody is making all this disposable stuff and everybody is behaving like all this stuff is disposable. Make something that lasts. Why not? That's why I am very particular about what I pick. I want something that I can relive and re-enjoy over and over and over and over. That is that good, that is that fun, that is that safe, that is that hilarious and insightful. Why not make it the best you can make it? Other than that, you know, it's just the fact that you're listening, good. Anybody who says, hey, I'm listening, I'm enjoying, good. You make me feel better when you just talk about it casually or confess the way that Seamus did. I can't tell you. Or there was the other lady. I think she was a lady. And last year, I think. I can't pick just one. She reviewed on fanfiction.net. I can't just pick one thing. But I will at least say this, this, and this. And I tried to get back to her as briefly as I could just for the sake that brevity seems to be all anyone can understand these days. And she was saying, you know, I love that whole thing. It's so good that I can't just pick one highlight. And I agree with you. Jason McGuire is / was the worst. You know, she made that effort and I was so grateful. And I would love to continue to talk to her. I'd love to talk to a lot of you. Like I said, I did this for friendship and shared interests. I only wanted 25 people. And then I see these subscriber numbers getting into the 200, 500s over the years. Like, you guys gotta be kidding me. This doesn't matter. Some of it could be bots, but I mean, the ones that aren't, that's people. Do people not matter? Is it only numbers now? I don't think so. I don't believe that. You know, you go have your fun with your micro celebrity. I'm wanting community here. And to me, that's what The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is all about. It ain't all rainbows and buttercups. It's working hard and having fun while you're working hard. And a lot of taboos I had no idea about. Like I said years ago, when I thought over Gomez and Morticia, and it dawned on me, Gomez always getting so hot and bothered when Morticia speaks French or some other language, and I thought, that's Barnabas and Josette right there. Why not? Let's see if we can wrap up this thing. Wanted to go over 4 points just because this is the end, so hopefully it's something that you can easily reach if you want the information. I wanted to kind of do it a little bit like Dale Carnegie, the How to Win Friends and Influence People. He would, when he wrote that, he was like, okay, I'm going to get to the long version of my explanation and then remind the reader what we learned in as brief a summary as possible. And then I think with every subsequent chapter, he would remind those brief things again, sort of just try to repeat that stuff. So I thought, oh, that's a pretty good idea. So again, if you're a pen pal and you're listening casually, please tell me, because it makes a huge difference just to have that casualness, because everybody's just so paranoid and weirded out, and yeah, it really helps after all these years of people being, avoid the topic, you know, just a sin of omission. That was the best way to express it. I got that from, I Road to Avonlea or Flatliners. I learned that. And I hate to use the word sin, but I mean, just, that's what it's called. It's sin of omission. It's deceitful. I mean, whether or not you're lying, it's deceitful. And it makes people paranoid, which you might have experienced in your own life from other things. But yeah, the second point I wanted to make about that is that kind of behavior is bad just because you have to constantly remember what you said or didn't say or what you lied about. It's just, there's a reason honesty is the best policy overall. It's not always possible. I understand that. but the deliberate nervousness and dancing around stuff, and it's just, get comfortable with yourself. Know who you are. And then you can be honest with yourself, and in being honest with yourself, it's a lot easier to be honest with other people.
Really is. I've learned that the hard way.
And listen to the For You. It's only 7 minutes. A lot of people have been doing that. I'm very pleased by that. It also seems to show that people are going back to radio drama episodes. Hopefully they've taken that advice. And For You, that podcast, one of the things I wanted to get to is it's really important to go itemizing one by one. Because that's how we did stuff, you know. And I told O'Sheen recently, people accuse the Q&A of being, quote-unquote, too much like homework. Well, the homework we got in doing a chronological understanding of chapters we read in school was to help to build that attention span longer. And with the shrinking of attention spans, yeah, it goes away, and then all of a sudden you think, well, all I have to do is criticize this, and that's my job, and it's like, no, that wasn't the point. Some people want, quote-unquote, critiquing. Others of us don't. Everybody's different. I've said it. I mean, it's what most of the series is about, everybody being different. If we were all the same, we'd have the same allergies. And we don't. We have many different allergies. You know, that planner's guy with his top hat and a cane and a monocle, that's not a friendly image to some people. So there is that. But yeah, if you don't understand the content, move to content that you do understand. And maybe the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is just not for you. It is possible. That's why I just shot for 25. That's all I'm asking for. Getting more is, that was scary, but I always got excited that, well, if these numbers are coming in, then the talk's going to come in. And then I got the chain yanked for years. Kept on expecting, getting hopeful. Okay, I will deal with all this silliness, all these like buttons, all this other stuff. I just put up with it, getting poo-pooed, and it's going to happen. Well, now that it's not happening, just be happy with what you got. And I was so jacked up. And I'm like, oh, well, and we've seen the downfall of society from all this garbage. But that was why I sat it out, because I had hope, I believed, and then I found out, you know, you need to go back to writing letters to people. That's what got you through a lot of this, and even got the darn series started. Those people with longer attention spans want to take their time. So I guess the last thing that I wanted to point out is that, yeah, when we don't have the capacity to talk about what we like in detail, the negative just runs rampant. Yeah, a lot of these people, some of the nicest people, just been completely hypnotized. And then some of the people who knew how to be nice, it's like they get an open invitation to be nasty, say nasty things, because they get this encouragement with the dopamine rush and the happy buttons and all that. Well, look how many I got for saying the nastiest thing I knew how to say. I'll keep doing it. So when that happens, the meanies just run rampant, take over. The meanie in ourselves takes over. You've seen it happen to me. You know I was a different person from the intro to episode 1 to now. And hopefully I'm getting better. And I've been getting better because I followed my heart and questioned everything. Hopefully everything is going to work out. Some of the people listening to this will get better and improve, and, you know, we'll keep going. But I do, I'm very worried about the younger generation. That's why I've been reaching out. I presume that it's younger people, mostly, who have been putting together the Dark Shadows movie fan fiction. If I see something I like that's got the canon pairings, ugh, beauty, eh? And I'll just go for it, because I remembered how. I know how. I like to talk about what I like. Other people don't. They go looking for somebody to mess with. And, what a waste of time. So sad. All these great things that we could enjoy together. But if you've lost your capacity to be able to talk about what you like, yeah, it just ruins everything. And when people keep getting bashed and bashed and bashed, they go away. And then the people who bash them don't understand why. Well, how would you feel? Well, you get really into it, but hopefully you'd get exhausted after a while and realize this isn't how I want to live my life. And if you do like that conflict all the time, there's plenty of choices. Tons of choices. Go to boxing matches. You could become a boxer. All kinds of choices if you like conflict. But there are others of us that conflict every once in a while because, you know, to have a good life, conflict is only every once in a while. Like I said, flat tire. I've been involved in helping to get through fixing a flat tire, switching to a spare and all that, and other things. That's why when I mentioned the issues with the romances in Dark Shadows, especially the main one, and it always is Barnabas and a reincarnation of his first love, Josette Dupré, in just about every version but, say, Night of Dark Shadows, because Barnabas and Josette not even in there. And I'm asking, not, how dare so-and-so write this other thing? I'm not, you know, or like this other, I'm not. I'm asking the fans of that canon pairing, what is the problem? Let's solve the problem. What is the problem? Yeah, if you need to vent, I understand needing to vent, but constantly focusing on all of this stuff, it's like, just, here it is. Enjoy yourself. Worked my butt off and got overexposed to all the complaints, because that's what this decade seems to have been geared towards. Take away the detail of the good with happy button, then the negative just runs rampant. So, yeah, if you're listening, casually mention that you tuned in for writing letters. It really helps. And listen to for you when you need it. No. Get in touch when you can. XOISCYTHE@hotmail.com. Take care.